I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central Show. TCS is brought to you by MTN Business. Visit mtnbusiness.co.za to learn more about their products and services. And we thank them for partnering with the show to bring you these great interviews. Now, many Tech Central readers will know Rashad Shah. Rashad has been involved in a number of senior roles in his career, including as CEO of Liquid Telecom in South Africa. And he also helped pioneer the rollout of an Internet of Things network in South Africa. Rashad has, for the last few years, been building a business called BrightGaze. Well, Rashad is back in the news. He's involved with Louis Dutoy in the acquisition from Ultron of the Ultron Nexus business, which they are renaming as Centiv. Louis Dutoy was MD at Ultron Nexus and will be CEO of Centiv, while Rashad Shah will be the company's chairman. I'm very pleased to welcome both gentlemen into the Tech Central studio now for a discussion about this acquisition. And looking forward to hearing more about what their plans are with the business. But Louis, maybe I should start with you. You've been MD of Ultron Nexus for a number of years now, right?
Yeah, it's 2 years. Yeah.
2 years. Okay. Tell me a bit about this business. How long has it been around? What does it do? And why are you doing an MBO?
Thanks, Duncan. Yes, so, I mean, Ultron Nexus has been around in various names for longer than 55-plus years. We started out as a Motorola reseller and integrator in the market, predominantly focused on mission-critical communications, so serving the police force, emergency services, and the various metros across the country. And I think, you know, this is a really important role in society. It's all about service delivery, safety and security to citizens. And over time, the technology landscape has changed. And I think there was a little bit of a horizon expected with this TETRA and DMR networks that we deployed. And an expectation was, I suppose, created by other OEMs that the potential is that mobile networks would take over that role.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is a highly sophisticated and specialized field. So if you look at the pyramid, you know, enterprise networking sits at the bottom, telco in the middle, and then critical sit really at the pinnacle of that, because it is absolutely proprietary and specialized mm-hmm. for this purpose. So, you know, we've been doing this for, as I say, longer than 55 years. I think the market has changed and evolved. There's obviously been the normal challenges in society and in the South African environment. So we've seen some lack of investment. The necessary maintenance and things have not been done. But, you know, we strongly believe that this is a purposeful business in the market, and that we can play a significant role in the future of South Africa and making sure that we facilitate safety and security and service delivery to society.
Okay. Rashad, how did you meet Louis? How did this deal come about?
Thank you, Duncan, for having us.
Pleasure.
So I started doing some work with the Ultron Group a couple of years ago, and probably it was in 2023 when there was a large project that was being executed by Ultron Nexus that it lost, which is really a broadband type business.
Was that the Twane?
That was the Gauteng broadband network.
Gauteng broadband network.
Yeah,
okay.
And when that happened, you know, in our business, one of our functions we fulfill is some advisory services. And when we had a look at this business, we helped with a little bit of the restructure post that contract being lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really got to like what this business was doing, its heritage, its experience, the skill set that was in this business, specifically on the mission-critical communication side.
Yes.
So it attracted me to the business. Louis then came on. I was there for a short while just to help clean up. And then Louis joined as the MD, and we stayed in contact and, you know, worked on a couple of opportunities together in the mission-critical communication space. And when the opportunity arose for Louis and I to partner on looking at potential MBO, it was really a phenomenal opportunity.
Were you new to the Altron Group 2 years ago? Or
yes.
You were. So what is your career background, Louis?
Predominantly, I've played in the vendor space. So I had various roles with some North American vendors, Acme Packet and Infoblox being two. And, you know, obviously worked with most of the resellers and integrators in the market. Mm-hmm. And then I did a stint at Dimension Data from about 2015 onwards. And then, you know, I was privileged enough during COVID to take a sabbatical.
Okay.
And then in 2023, I came back in the role as MD for Altron Nexus.
Okay. So what are the assets sitting inside this business today? And what is it in here that got you both excited, Rishad?
Yeah, I think, so firstly, it's experience and heritage in deploying critical comms networks. So whether it is DMR or Tetra, or even working with clients to build and operate those networks for them. So that skill set, capability, experience, and then those OEM partnerships that it has.
Yeah.
We also have a small network that we operate, you know, mostly in the Western Cape and also partly in Gauteng. Mm-hmm. But that's, again, a very dedicated, specific client-based network that we run and operate for a vertical in the market. So it's not a significant network asset base, but really what it has is the ability to bring transformation into emergency management services, bring transformation into police services using this critical comms capability. So it's either through building networks dedicated to those clients or working with MNOs to deliver a mission critical over cellular service. Those are the focus areas, you know, for the business. So that capability was there already. We have a push-to-talk over cellular platform in place, which is a good asset to continue to monetize. So that helps a lot. And also a good distribution network where we provide mission critical product to 250 plus dealers in the market. Mm-hmm. So that also is a good asset to be able to monetize further.
Mm-hmm. I think the platform play for us is really the main asset that we believe we can leverage going forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not going to stop doing anything that we've been doing. We want to obviously continue doing that, but we truly believe that leveraging the push-to-talk platform and growing that and that subscriber base is our future.
And you still have these strong vendor relationships as well, do you?
Yes,
we do. Motorola,
Motorola and Hytera are the two main players in this space.
Yeah, And I know, Rishad, you have a background in IoT. You deployed the Sigfox network in South Africa. Do you see IoT playing a role in this new business?
Absolutely. In fact, the business had some SCADA capability because we have a number of customers that run industrial IoT solutions that we provide today.
Okay.
So IoT is an important component of our solution stack that we're building for the future. So both from a platform perspective as well as very, very specific industrial use cases that leverages IoT networks that are there today, as well as some complementary use case service deployment that we'll do on top of that.
But you're not going to build your own IoT network?
It's not required. I mean, there's NB-IoT from both MTN and Vodacom in the market. There's the Sigfox network, which is still functioning really well, which will be a good partner to have. And that's more than enough.
Yes. Okay. Now, you, I think you left Liquid to start Brightgaze, if I remember the sequence correctly. Is your participation in Centiv through Brightgaze?
Yes, it is. Okay. However, I think in addition to that, even though we did the acquisition through Brightgaze, the role that I'll be playing is one of executive chair, which means that I'll be involved in the business on a, much more frequent basis than sitting at a shareholder level. And working closely with Louis and the executive team to really build this business out into what we believe is the opportunity, mm-hmm. but not just in South Africa, in Southern Africa initially. We have a number of customers that are in neighboring countries, and we'll expand a little into sub-Saharan Africa through this platform of Centiv. Mm-hmm. And what it actually, the thinking behind it is that, you know, safety and security is a critical requirement in every one of our cities, in every province. But it's not just in these areas, because our safety and security from a citizen perspective is also impacted by what's happening in neighboring countries. Mm-hmm. So if we can take that enablement into some of our neighboring countries, get them to have much more robust technology capability for safety and security on the back of critical comms, on the back of industrial IoT, on secure IoT solutions, then we think it's going to help towards creating an even safer region, mm-hmm. not just country.
Okay. Louis, clearly Ultra Nexus has been quite heavily exposed in the past to public sector business and may have, in fact, gotten itself a little burnt because of that through some of these broadband projects that the business was involved in. How much of a risk is your exposure to public sector, and do you see a need to reduce that exposure?
Look, we're certainly looking at ways where we can spread that risk. We do a lot of business still in public sector. I think it's different to the kind of business that we did, for example, with GBN. Mm-hmm. These are much longer-term contracts. The networks that we build usually, you know, have a lifespan of between 8 to 12 years. So it's longer-term, higher-value contracts. But we are certainly looking specifically through our platform drive to acquire more private sector clientele. I think one of the things that we are focusing on as well is how do we close that gap between private and public sector safety and security. I think we have a very unique situation in South Africa that for most incidents, a private company will arrive at the scene first. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we are investing heavily on how do we own that chain of evidence and really able to capture it correctly and then hand it over to the authorities in the right way so that it's immutable at the end of the mm-hmm. day. So we definitely want to de-risk, but we also see significant opportunity still in public sector. I think there's some significant investment required there.
Okay. And you mentioned being a platform business. Where are you with that strategy today? What still needs to be done?
So we are probably about 2 years into that strategy. I mean, as you know, it's quite an endeavor to move from a peer project space to a platform play. But I'm very proud of my team and from our team with what they've done and how they've managed to make that step change. So I think the foundations are in play. As Rashad said, we've got an over-the-top play with the MNOs today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our next phase is a deep integration, a 3GPP integration into an MNO core. And I think that really then gives us the ability to provide a hybrid mission-critical solution to the market. So clients will still build their own private network, but maybe smaller, more contained, where there's no mobile coverage, mm-hmm. and the rest will be taken up with this mission-critical services. Okay. And we truly believe that's the future.
So is the idea then that there's this platform where a company would come along and say, well, I'd like this, 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 and this, and then it's provisioned, yeah. and then this becomes a recurring revenue for Centiv.
Absolutely. And in fact, we do that today. Mm-hmm. We have thousands of customers on the platform already where they're consuming that as a service. And it's the objective is to really expand the types of service layers that we can, you know, keep putting onto that mm-hmm. platform to the point where we're able to get to the point of assisting, whether it's private security or public security, with proactive work, mm-hmm. Getting to the extent where if we're able to centralize how these security units show up, whether they're showing up with a vehicle, with a dash cam, a body cam, the device that they have in their hand, or even a drone that goes as a first responder to a scene in advance of the policeman arriving, that is really allowing us to then touch all parts of the ecosystem while bringing technology into actionable response.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ultron published its results last week, and I guess this is probably the last time we're going to have any detail about your finances, as you're soon about to be a private entity. But they disclosed that Ultron Nexus reported revenue of $343 million. I think this was for the full year, compared to $659 million the prior year. So it's a big decline in the revenue line, but an improvement in the EBITDA loss situation. EBITDA, of course, a measure of operating profitability. That improved from a loss of $149 million from a loss of $421 million a year ago. Louis, why are these heavy losses and the declining revenue? And obviously, you're keen, you're confident you're going to turn this around.
Yeah, we are. I mean, I think the business has had significant headwinds. I mean, everybody's aware of that. Over the last 2 years, we've had to take significant write-downs and impairments related to the GBN projects. So I think, that's not the true trading reflection.
Right.
2026 FY is certainly a make or break year for us. It's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we believe that we've done the work and we've made the investment and we've built the pipeline to capture the right deals and the right revenue, most importantly at the right margin contribution. So we're doing healthy business, good business. So we do believe we can turn it around. I'm proud of the turnaround, and again, proud of the team for sticking with us to make that happen. But there was a lot of legacy to wash through the system.
Okay, is that now dealt with?
Dealt with.
So there's no need for restructuring post acquisition.
No.
Okay. Interesting. I know that Ultron disclosed, in fact, you guys disclosed as well, that there are a number of conditions precedent to this deal before it goes through. I don't think those conditions precedent have been disclosed to the market, but you're hopeful that they're going to be concluded by the end of June.
Yes, absolutely. I think as per the SENSE announcement from Ultron group as well, they mentioned specifically that by the end of June. And it's because we strongly believe that those are not major hurdles to overcome.
Are these the normal conditions?
These are standard stuff, nothing out of the ordinary.
Okay. So a few weeks and this deal should be fully completed. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. All right. Let's talk about the future. You're doing this management buyout. You'll soon own this business. What's the plan? How are you going to grow it? What's the strategy? Are you going to look at bolt-on acquisitions? What's your thinking? Maybe I'll start with you, Rashad, and then ask you for your thoughts, Louis.
Yeah, I think we covered some of where we're going from a product perspective,
sure.
Right? Because that's really, really important for the run rate business. The first is the pivot into more platform type services.
Meaning more recurring revenue.
More recurring revenue. But at the same time, ensuring that we're able to service both private security and logistics segments pretty well. So from a product perspective, we have a pretty well-baked thought process in terms of how we will deliver various solutions into the market. And some of those solutions we're already delivering. It's really about taking those and expanding them into multiple verticals that contributes towards the revenue profile that we're targeting for the next 2 years. And I think that is, is really testament to the work that's already been done in the business over the last 12, 18 months to get us to the position of being able to expand on those portfolios.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the, the first shift that's currently underway and we're doubling down on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the one big area. The second is, we will look at opportunities in the market on an opportunistic basis that complements what we're doing, whether it is a market adjacency or whether it is something that's core to actually what we're doing to help us to grow profitable revenue contribution.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be an important focus for us. And then, of course, working closely with mobile operators who will act as a go-to-market channel for us because they have a different level of scale. We come with a capability that enables what some of the 5G promises around mission critical that remain unfulfilled today. So we think we can be a great background partner from a technology perspective to win in those markets specifically. So that's really, I think, the one big focus area, which is really product, it's really go-to-market and how we go-to-market. And then importantly, how do we look at adjacencies that are, directly adjacent, not, far away from what we do, leveraging the skills that we have in the business today and, getting that utilization of that skill set up as well, which is really, really important for us.
Do you need additional skills? I mean, what does your skills base look like? How many employees are you taking on through this acquisition?
We're about 110 people,
okay.
Predominantly more than 60 is technical people.
Okay.
So I think this market segment does have a skill issue because it is the traditional business is a pure RF business, radio frequency business. So we've started a learner program 2 years ago where we are bringing graduates into the business, technical graduates, to really take them through an apprenticeship around that skill set and take them on that journey. But what we're doing with our current staff complement is really performing that IP enablement because the platform really is an IP play at the end of the day. And, what we're then looking to do is obviously to partner. So we'd like to have our platform be a conduit to other potential companies or services. So we have no working capital exposure, but we can package it through our go-to-market. So I think there's some exciting things there that we can unlock quite quickly. So I think our skill set is good. There's a bit of retooling that needs to happen and a bit of broadening of skills, but we've got a very, very capable and competent team. And I think our key focus is subscriber growth. We both of us, like Richard said, this is our 8 to 5 for the next couple of years. We want to really focus on it and make a success.
Tell us about this name, Centiv. Where does that come from?
Yeah, so I think Centiv, it really is about intuition. It's about intellect. It's about intelligence. It's about sensory. And why we think that's, a great word storm that informs this name, Centiv. It's because that's actually what we want to be to our customers, whether it is, emergency management services with, a technology first responder type enablement or border management agency where we're able to provide proactive data sets for them to make informed decisions. That's really where it comes from. And it's really thinking about how do we bring effect to the agencies that are there to protect the citizen of a country, of a city, of a province, or of a region in this case.
Gentlemen, fascinating developments in the local industry. Congratulations on the acquisition. I look forward to seeing how it grows. Rashad Shah is chairman of Centiv and CEO of Brightgaze, and Louis Detoy is CEO of Centiv. Thanks so much for telling us about this deal. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Duncan.
Thank you, Duncan.
Thank you. Okay.